Now, I want to start in the Old Testament tonight in the Gospel. Not the Gospel. It's in the book of Judges, please, chapter 9. Judges, chapter 9. And we'll begin our reading at verse 8. There's really not much value in explaining to you the context of this, but the statements will speak for themselves. Verse 8, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign thou over us, we are king. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Now, just for a moment, let me draw from that what will help us in the rest of our reading. Each of these trees, the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine, all speak to us about the nation of Israel and a different characteristic of the nation of Israel. So you have the olive tree, whose oil was used for anointing to honor God and man. That's the nation of Israel, and its privilege to bring honor to God and to honor those that would honor God. You come to the vine, number 3 in what we've looked at. And the vine is for cheering the heart of God and of men. Wine that maketh glad the heart. And so we're looking at the joy that God wanted to derive from the nation of Israel. When you come to the fig tree in the middle, he says, shall I leave my sweetness or my good fruit? So the fig tree reminds us of what is enjoyable, what is nutritious, what is delightful, and what is good. It reminds us of the righteousness that God desired for the nation of Israel. That will give us then some clue as to what we'll be reading in the Gospels. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 21. And we will read, first of all, at verse 15. Now, this is on Palm Sunday. And we're reading just the end of what is given to us by Mark from that day. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, he was doing miracles on this Sunday, when he has arrived at the temple and he's healing the blind and the lame, and they saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying just what the people had said when the Lord Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. The leaders rejected the value of his wondrous works and the plea of save us now, thou son of David. They were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? This is totally inappropriate. And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, or on the side of the road, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? This miracle by the Lord Jesus stands out from all the other miracles that he did. It is a divine act. But it is the only miracle of the miracles the Lord Jesus performed that was a miracle of destruction. The miracles that he did brought health and blessing and peace. This miracle, this act of God, caused a fig tree to wither, to be unfruitful forever. Now, taking what we have gleaned from the Old Testament, then I think it should be clear to us. This is a miracle and it's a parable all at once. It is a story of the nation of Israel, the fig tree, and God desiring to find goodness, God desiring to find and enjoying to find from Israel what was sweet to him and what was good. This is not the first time we have fig trees used in the teaching of the Lord Jesus. There are two other passages that I want to draw to your attention. They both can be found in Luke's Gospel, and we didn't take the time to read them. One of them happens before this, and the other one happens just after this. So the one that happens before this, from Luke chapter 13, the people have told them about Pilate mingling the sacrifices of some of the Jews with their blood, and the message of the Lord Jesus was, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And then he tells a story of a fig tree that was planted in a vineyard, and the owner of the vineyard came to seek fruit on the tree. And he said, "These 3 years have I come seeking fruit on the tree and have found none. Cut it down." But the one who was tending the fig tree said, "Let it alone this year also. I'll dig about it. I'll dung it. I'll do everything that I can to promote fruit in the tree. And afterward, if it doesn't bring forth fruit, then thou shalt cut it down." Now, it's valuable to know that the Lord Jesus told that story as part of his final trip to Jerusalem, the way Luke presents it. It is in that year between the third Passover and the final Passover when the Lord Jesus was slain. He'd been coming 3 years. And now there is somewhere around a half of a year left. And that nation has that half of a year. Will they respond? Will there be evidence of fruit? You remember, because I think this is very important in this subject. You remember when John the Baptist was preaching, he said to the people as they listened, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And then he said, "The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that not bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down." John is introducing the same thing that the Lord Jesus is saying, but John applies it to individuals. The Lord Jesus applies it to the nation. So while we look at this subject tonight, it is a solemn subject as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, but it has a parallel solemnity for individual souls in the meeting this evening. The second other parable that the Lord Jesus tells about the fig tree is this: that there will come a day in the future where the fig tree, and Luke says all the nations, will begin to sprout their leaves. There will be a spiritual reviving that will again bring a different generation from the people that are pictured for us here in Matthew chapter 21. God will again return to that nation, and there will be a spiritual response that begins. In that nation and in the whole world, there will be those from the Gentiles and there will be those from the Jews that will respond to the word of God and will enter into the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is future possibility for the nation of Israel. There are parallels among these three stories or these three incidents. One of the parallels is this: that fig tree was placed in a vineyard. It was placed in a location of special privilege. This fig tree is along the side of the road,
and while all the other fig trees that are around may not have yet begun even to show fruit, which in the fig tree came first, or leaves, this fig tree must have had one special spot in the sun that brought it out. Different from all the other trees, it had a place of privilege, the very best possible place for it to bring forth fruit. And when it comes to Luke chapter 20, when the Lord Jesus speaks about the fig tree and all the other trees, the fig tree will be the head of the nations, a reminder of what God intends for the coming nation of Israel. But once more, I want to remind you that this message tonight speaks to those who have grown in a place of privilege. They have heard the gospel. They have known the message of the gospel. They have heard from the word of God and could quote. I remember when I was a boy, my memory goes back that far actually, and I remember sitting in gospel meetings, and a preacher would read us three passages, and I would lean over and tell my mother, his outline is going to be the path of the wicked, the pleasure of the wicked, and the, I don't know what. I had the whole three things all lined up. Once in a while I was so familiar with listening to the gospel, I could anticipate what was going to be said. And I didn't know the Savior. Privilege. Care, special care. Digging about it. Circumstances coming into the life that loosen the stability of life. Incidents that make you begin to wonder, I'm not going to be here forever. There's something I've got to take care of. The privilege of the fig tree. But you see, here is the problem with this fig tree that we have read about. It's the same problem as in the parable when the Lord Jesus says, these 3 years have I come seeking fruit on the tree. Year after year after year, there was the reminder that what God had clearly spoken to them about through John had not affected the leaders or the most of the people. The message of John, repent. Repent. The message of the Lord Jesus, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, repent and believe the gospel. And for those 3 years, the fig tree itself, the nation of Israel at large, no fruits that were suitable for repentance. No evidence in them that there was repentance toward God. No evidence in them that they had turned from their sin. No evidence in them that they realized God's just judgment could fall upon them. None of that. They were going along saying, we have Abraham to our father. We're okay. We're all right. No problem for us. The problem was this. No fruit. Christians aren't perfect. But I will tell you this. That every Christian produces fruit for the pleasure of God. There will be evidence of righteousness, goodness, in the life of believers. But here is the Lord Jesus, and it says he wasn't hungered. I went back in my mind to the beginning of Matthew's gospel. He wasn't hungered when he had fasted 40 days. But then he says to his followers, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He always exemplified what he desired to be in his own people. Here he comes, if I can just use this in terms of the parable that's in this miracle. He came hungry to find righteousness in the nation. It gave every promise. There should be fruit if there are leaves. But all the promise that privilege had produced, there was no fruit. The axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What is true of the individuals as John is presenting his message is true of the nation. Listen, I want you to know tonight that God desires the blessing of every sinner. It's not some selfish desire. When you are rightly related to God, where there is righteousness in the life, yes, it honors God, but I want to tell you tonight, that's the kind of life that is blessed. That's what the Lord Jesus describes when he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Tonight, every Christian I know, in their proper thinking, I don't know whether I had to put that qualification in or not, every Christian I know would long to be more righteous than they are. There is a longing for righteousness, rightness before God with every believer. And it is God's longing to find rightness in every heart in the meeting this evening. Here's the peril of this people. You see, if you put this, that's why I read what came before it. He goes to the heart of the nation in the temple. The Lord Jesus, as he's joyously received by the multitude, goes to the heart of the nation. And the rulers there say, do you hear what these people are saying? Because they totally rejected what the people were saying. They totally, on behalf of the nation, sad to say, rejected Christ. The next day, well, the following event to this, which our brother will look at tonight as well, it is the cleansing of the temple. The Lord Jesus is pleased for what he finds on this second day in the temple. And between his judgment in the temple and the rejection of the people, there stands a fig tree. Its day of opportunity has passed. The 3 years have passed. And now the 1 year also has passed, and there's no fruit. And the parable, after that thou shalt cut it down. And the Lord Jesus gives a living example of what the parable called for. No fruit. And he commanded the tree with divine authority, henceforth there will no fruit be born on thee forevermore. Did I say it was solemn? I can't convey to you tonight the awful solemnity that souls can be privileged, and not every privileged soul will be in heaven. I struggle with that. I don't mean that I find fault with God for it. I struggle with it. I'm so glad I was brought up where I had privilege. I've told this before, I think, here, but anyway, my mind just suddenly flashes back to a little place in New York State where we were pitching a tent. I was on a parking lot of a restaurant, but it was just cinder parking lot and hard old clay. So some of the fellows that were with me were doing the work, and I tried to help once in a while when I felt like it, when I felt I could, I mean. But down the road, there was a curve in the road that kind of just pointed right at the place where we were putting the tent up, and then the road went around the other way. And some fellas came riding, young fellas, you know, came riding down around there, and the windows rolled down, and they started shouting, hallelujah, and whatever else they wanted to shout to kind of just make fun of the place. And my instant righteous reaction was how terrible these boys were. And then my next more sane thought was, if I hadn't been brought up where I was brought up, I probably would be doing what they're doing. I know God saves by grace, but somehow or other there is a special sadness to me that there are souls that have had every privilege and forever, where they are will be no different
from those that were brought up in a home where God's name was only a curse word, or his existence denied, or the truths of the Word of God despised. And they have all gone to the same place of judgment for their sins. Cut it down. Henceforth, no possibility of fruit. It should affect my praying, because I know the names of those that have had such a place of privilege. I don't know the names of so many others that haven't. It should affect the praying of all of us. But my friend in the meeting tonight, my dear one in the meeting tonight, will you understand the tremendous solemnity of this for your soul? No fruit. There may be lots of good things you do. There may be lots of things that are coming to your mind. Just remember that God's word says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. No fruit. Privilege repeated over and over again. Cut it down. No fruit eternally. I can tell you this, that as I thought of this tree and the curse on this tree, I was reminded of another tree and the curse on that tree. There was a man who was perfectly righteous, from whom God every moment received the sweetness and goodness of his fruit. And he hung on a tree, accursed of God. His name is Jesus the Savior. He was not on that tree, nor was he accursed for his lack, but he was there on that tree because he loved guilty sinners. And he paid all that could be paid. There could not have been greater sufferings. There could not have been greater value in the sacrifice. There could not have been a greater offer than what flows from the cross at Calvary. Every sin to be cleansed, available to a world of sinners. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom, a substitutionary ransom for all. There's enough in the death of Christ that you could leave this meeting tonight with every sin forgiven. You could leave the meeting tonight rejoicing. Maybe it would be tears in your eyes, but it would be tears of thankfulness to God for what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. He died for me, a guilty sinner, and I go free, saved, safe for all eternity. The fruit of that tree will bring glory and honor to God forever and forever. But my soul, don't miss the warning. It's not for someone else tonight. Take heed in the presence of God that the God who loves is a God of justice. The two are not in conflict. It may be that the final moment of expectation of fruitfulness has come. And if it passes without fruit, it may